For the last 2 weeks, I've felt the Lord tell me exactly what he wanted me to say this morning. And yet, as I attempted to write things down over the last couple days, I had writer's block. I couldn't put anything on paper. Well, I put some things on paper, but not everything that I thought I was going to say. So as you hear me go into spasms of incoherence, you'll know where I've stopped my writing. But fortunately, I have the blessing of two children who came up here this morning and shared so wonderfully their own memory of their sister and of the story of our last 9+ months. And I'm very proud of them. Well, on behalf of our entire family, I do want to welcome and thank you for coming to share this time with us. Many of you have traveled with us through this journey from the very beginning. But it's with the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of our family and friends, there was not one step that we have taken where we felt alone or abandoned. There is just not enough words of appreciation that can be expressed to tell everyone how much their prayers, their kind thoughts, their prayers and meals, their prayers and babysitting, their prayers and gifts and prayers have meant to us. I hope you can see the pattern here that I'm stressing. For throughout these last 8 weeks, many people have told us that they were praying for us, but that they wished that they could do something to support us in a more tangible way. And each time we responded with full sincerity that the Lord was abundantly providing for us through our faithful family and friends, and that prayer was truly what we desired the most. Last night, in preparation for today, my wife and I, we reviewed all the emails that we'd been receiving, and she went online to the message boards that she participates in, and we were trying to identify the states that people were coming from, or just the locations. We were able to positively identify prayer partners in 44 states, 10 countries, and 5 continents. That is amazing. And it would not surprise me at all to discover that at many times we were being lifted up in prayer 24 hours continuously. Because that is the only explanation that I can offer for the strength, the peace, and the comfort that we have had. But please continue your prayers for our family. You know, it is often said that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And yet these are one of those phrases which sound spiritual but don't actually exist in the Bible. But Scripture does tell us in the book of Deuteronomy that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And the Apostle Paul also writes to the church in Rome, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." So from passages like these, we do indeed learn that God does cause or allow things to happen that we don't fully understand. But he does not owe us any explanation. However, we are given a promise that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Regrettably, usually only the first half of that verse is often quoted. That is, that God causes all things to work together for good. But I would not be a minister of the gospel if I did not add that what's important about that verse is the second half, which is that if we do not love God, and if we are not called according to his purpose, then that is not something that we can find our rest in as a promise. But even though we will probably never know all the good things that God is working through the circumstances of Catherine's short life, I can say that God has indeed been gracious to us. He has been merciful, and he has been giving us glimpses of his eternal purposes and of the great work that he has done and that he continues to do. And some of these I would like to just share with you. More than ever before, we have learned to trust completely in God and His grace. When our child, or when anyone's child, is in the hospital and it seems that there is nothing one can do, there is no option but to lean on the Lord and learn what the Scripture means when it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." The bond that keeps our marriage and our family together has been strengthened immeasurably. During this entire experience, we reflected many times on how relationships are destroyed through these kinds of trials. And yet God has used this time to renew our love and our appreciation for one another. And we now have the benefit of hindsight, and we can see how the trials of years past have prepared us to persevere through these last 8 weeks. One of the admitted character flaws that Ronette and I have is that we find it difficult to let others minister to us, to let them into our lives in that way. And this is ironic because we believe in the importance of ministry and of support and helping others. Yet as we look back, I don't know what we would have done if it hadn't been for everybody who had been there for us in so many different ways. Our faith in Jesus Christ has been shared with more people in the last 8 weeks than I can count for the last several years. In the hospital, doctors and nurses, they often see despair and hopelessness in the families that come and visit. We are very grateful that God used us to demonstrate His strength and His comfort, and indeed the gospel in our lives. We're aware of family members who have not spoken to each other in many years, and now they are beginning reconnections. And some of them have ongoing personal disputes. Our hope is now that our experiences are giving new perspective to these old problems, and our hope is that this will lead to the healing of relationships. People's lives have been transformed as they witness God's grace to our family. One email that we received said the following: "I was deeply reminded for how for granted I have taken many things, and I was able to repent and focus more clearly on our Lord." That gives us great joy to hear God using us in circumstances like that. One of the more difficult things that Ronette has had to endure is the consistent pumping of her milk, not realizing or not expecting her daughter to come home. And yet she continued on. And we affectionately refer to that as her leash, always being locked down at home because of it. So the question was, why is she doing this? Why did she continually pump? Well, that answer came to us through some friends of ours who had their baby a few weeks before we had Catherine. And regrettably, they've had trouble with milk supply. But yet we had a full 2 freezers full of milk. And not knowing if they would appreciate the offer, I went ahead and I asked, "Is this something that you would enjoy, something that would bless you?" And they came back saying, "Absolutely." And so even now, their baby is enjoying the work that my wife went through, and we're grateful for that. I titled my speech this morning, 6 Weeks of Joy, referring to the 6 weeks that we were able to have Catherine in our lives. That does not mean that there weren't trials and there weren't tears, but there was great joy in that time. And I really desire that this morning, it's that joy, it's that hope that we have that is communicated to everyone who is here. And by the way, the numbers of people who are here are staggering. It's a complete blessing to see everyone's face, to have everyone's presence here to be with us. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." The apostle is making a distinction between two types of grief. He realizes that there are those who will grieve for various reasons, but it's a grief without hope. It's without hope because they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have the assurance of eternal life for those who are no longer with them. But he's talking to the church, and he's telling them, we do have hope. We have hope because we've had a Savior who's come before us, who died himself, but yet he was resurrected from the dead. And that resurrection is the hallmark of our hope. We can look back upon his resurrection and have confidence that we too will have a resurrected body someday. But in the meantime, even those who depart and who are not reunited with their resurrected bodies are in the presence of the Lord. Paul shared that a few times in Scripture, indicating that it would be better to go home and be with the Lord. And so we know our daughter is with God. And we have that confidence because it's a promise of God that to those who do love him, those who are his own, he owns their family. He owns their children. God just does not work on individuals. He works on whole families. And so we are, again, we have joy knowing that our daughter is indeed with him. But it is not a joy based on presumption. It is not a hope based on wishful thinking and nice thoughts. It's a joy because Scripture has given us promises. God himself stands by his promises and he will not break them. We have a God that is eternal and unchanging, and he is our rock. Many people have come to us and shared how much they've just marveled at our faith and how steadfast my family has been. But I have to confess, it is not us. It is God working through us. He has prepared us for this time. He has sustained us. He's using all of you as a vehicle of our strength. That's an amazing thing, to be participating in the work of our great God. But it is my hope that all of you would have that same hope that we have, that you would know with certainty that if your children or if your spouse or yourself had to go through the same circumstances we did, that there's a blessing on the other side of those circumstances. But I have to also tell you again, as a minister of the gospel, that just doesn't happen by wishful thinking. It doesn't happen because we just have this general good feeling that things are just going to work out in the end. It only happens when your trust and your faith is upon the rock, upon Jesus Christ. It's about giving your life to him. It's about trusting completely in him for salvation and not in anything of yourself. It's not about having been introduced to church as a child but never going back as an adult. It's not about doing the things you think are good at home but yet never committing your life to him. It's about being fully focused on him, both not only as Savior but as Lord. It's an entire package. We have to trust and obey. And then we can have the confidence that the eternal life that he promises for all of us who place our faith in him will be received. When Pastor Stan and I, we met to prepare for this service, he reminded me that the goal of a parent is to train our children for eternity. And while I wish we could have had the pleasure of having much longer time to do that with Catherine, I can look back and say that is exactly what we've done. We trained our daughter to eternity. She didn't have the chance to talk to us, to play with us, to go to church with us, for us to read to her and do all the things that our family likes to do. But yet we know, in the time that she was here, we prayed for her. We held her, we kissed her, we loved her, and we know now that she is with her Heavenly Father. She was indeed trained into eternity. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians that whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That has become a life motto for me and for my family. We desire that everything we do, even the mundane things in life, are done to the glory of God. Everything in life is religious. And I think as we look back at Catherine's short 6 weeks, we can see that her life indeed was done to the glory of God because of all the wonderful things that we've seen come out of this, all the blessings that we've received, and just the constant reminder that God is with us and that our strength and our faith in Him has been increased. So again, my appeal to you, if you know the Lord, increase your faith in Him. If you don't know the Lord, come to know Him. He receives all who come to Him with a desire to repent and to give up their works and to rest solely in Him. And this is not meant to be a commercial, but this church is a wonderful place to come if you want to hear the gospel. But there's many churches that are just as wonderful. And my life and my wife's life, we are available to share the testimony of Christ in our life and to share the scriptures with any who desire to know Him. But again, I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for being here and sharing this time with us one more time. I hope that you see that the peace and the calmness that we have, which by the way is not perpetual, is only because we have the strength of the God Almighty, Lord and Maker of the entire universe, working through us. And we desire that you know that same strength and you have that same comfort in your lives because we love you. Thank you.